neat job. It should be pretty. So you're supposed to cut off even the basar chayfa is miotat Torah. So the inyan of hida mitzah, the Gemara gives examples. They should have talus noy, tzitzis noy, tefillin noy, achachrena b'shirayim noy, metfillin zekel should be noy. So here the Gemara has another kind of hida mitzvah. There's a mitzvah midrabbanan to recite birchas hanenin before you eat food. So if a person talks in between the bracha in the beginning of the achila, he has to repeat the bracha. That's the top line on mem amud aleph, the first 10 lines on the daf, and the top tesis on mem amud aleph. You want the bracha to relate to the food that you're eating, but once you swallow the first bit of food, then you can talk all you want. Aye, but you're mafsik, you talked in between the bracha and the hemshach achila. So what we often assume is that you only require a bracha on the first bit of food, and the rest of the food is muta without a bracha. Or let's say, ikir and tofel, berach alika, patas atveilo, I said bar pi hadoma on the potatoes, and I have butter on the potatoes. But if he said bar pi hadoma, you're not yoitze. That's the wrong bracha. You have to say shakon li yibidvara. But if you have an ikir and a tofel, all you have to do is say the bracha. The ikir and the tofel doesn't require a bracha. The chacham never required a bracha. So that's perhaps the pashtus of the din. That's how Rav Soloveitchik understood the din of ikar and tof, and that's how he understood the din, that you're not allowed to be mafsik in between the broch and the tchilas achila, but once you swallow it a little bit, then you may talk. Tosis has a sofek in Chulin, Daf Pezayin. Here Tosis assumes one way, the top Tosis amem and al. What if a person is a shoychet and he shechts for an hour straight, and he shechts in that 1 hour, he's going to shecht many, many hundreds of chickens, turkeys. They shecht every second. They shecht, and they have a conveyor belt, and they keep on shechting one after the other. So you go out of your mind if you're going to say a brach ala shechita. You're not going to talk for an hour. So for the first 20 minutes, they'll pull through. They're not going to talk. Then they start talking. They usually don't talk about the weather. They don't talk about politics. They talk the very Torah. They talk about the parsha. But it's hard not to talk. So Tyson says the suffix is birchas hamitzvah of shechita. Is that the same? Let's say you're putting up many mezuzahs, so you're shechting many chickens. So do you say every single mezuzah needs a bracha, every single chicken needs a bracha on the shechita? So if you're going to talk in between the bracha and the 100th chicken or the 100th mezuzah, then you have to say a new bracha. Or should you say, no, it's the same as food, that by the food, the first morsel of food that you swallow requires a bracha, and the rest doesn't require a bracha. So maybe brichas hamitzvah is the same, because we just had a gemara yesterday, nun aleph amud aleph, where the Gemara made an equation between Birchas HaMitzvah and the Birchas HaNenin. Ravina learned that from the fact that Tovol V'yola, Eimer Bal Yosa, Shekudusham Sosana Ala Tfila, you can say a bracha la'achar asiyosam by the mitzvah, the Birchas HaMitzvah of the Ger. So he wanted to derive from that the same is true regarding Birchas HaNenin on the food. So he's assuming that Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir, and it can be matir l'mafreya, so birchas hanenin is a matir. It can also be matir l'mafreya. On the level of the rabbanon, you can have a matir l'mafreya. So if they're the same, so maybe it's taka all the way the same, that the mezuzah that needs a bracha and the shechita that needs a bracha is the first mezuzah and the first shechita. And the rest of the 100 shechitas are muta b'li bracha. Or should I say no? That maybe in principle, they're similar. Maybe in principle, Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir, and Birchas HaNenin is a matir. But maybe the details are different. Maybe you should say that what are you going to say? That one mitzvah is more important than the other? Only the first shechita, the first mezuzah needs a bracha, and all the other 100 don't need a bracha. Maybe it's not exactly the same. Maybe by mitzvahs, the bracha has to relate to every single mitzvah, and if you talk in the middle, it's not acceptable. Tosis here doesn't quote the suffix. Tosis in Chulin, Daf Pei Zayin, has the suffix. Tosis here assumes so double pashut that if you talk in the middle, you got to say a new bracha. But they just say if he did 100 chickens and then he says, are there any more chickens to shecht? So that's a hepsik letzorech hadover. Whenever you mafsik letzorech hadover, so then b'dievet it doesn't constitute a hepsik. The Gemara says if I said hamotzi lechmen or oritz, and I didn't eat the bread yet, and I say tol baruch, I tell someone else, please take a piece of challah and eat. Or if I say havi melech, havi lifton, or if I say givil leture, prepare some food for the oxen. So b'dievet is not a hefsek. More correct is you should do the givil leture before you say hamoitzi, and you should see to it that there should be melech and lifton on the table before hamoitzi, And the same thing at a wedding, a lot of times you see at a wedding, the rabbi in the Masada Kedushin says a bracha, the Birchas Erusin, and then he gives a sip of wine to the chassan kala, then he starts carrying on a whole conversation. He asks the chassan, he asks the eidim, is the ring Shavu Pruta? Then he asks the chassan, did you pay with your own money? And are you sure you want to marry this girl? A whole conversation. So the whole that's a Birchas HaMitzvah, should be recited over Lasiyasam immediately before performing the mitzvah of getting married. You shouldn't have a long hafsok. If you want to ask, is it Shavu Pruta? Did you pay with your own money? Whatever you want to ask, all the questions should be asked before you say the Birchas Eiris and not after. But the Eved, if you asked after, so but the Eved, it says that it's not a hepsik to a Baruch and Havei Melech and Havei Lifton, but the Eved, it's not a hepsik. But for sure, the Hatchila, that should all be taken care of beforehand, in advance. So again, so this Perek, Peitzim Baruchim, is talking about Birchas Hanenin. So the Baruch is only needed for the first morsel of food. That's what the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch say, when you chew food and you spit it out, there's no birchas hamitzvah, only if you swallow the food. So if a person, let's say, says hamotzi lech min haaretz, and then he takes a bite of the bread and he starts chewing it, but he didn't swallow anything yet. So the bracha wasn't chal yet. So the pashtus is that if he's going to talk before he swallows, then he has to repeat the bracha all over again. So he mentioned that there's a Rashash was a balabas, he was not a rabbi. Rashash was a very wealthy balabos. He was the Rosh HaKohol in Vilna. When the Vilna Shas was being printed, they helped him pay for the publication. So the Rashash and the Dorim tries to defend the Minhag Olam to be Mezalzel in this. It's not Minhag Olam. It's not right. The Poskim al Shulchan Aruch say it's not right. So he says, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe since he started to chew the food, so the chewing is the beginning of the swallowing. So maybe the Bracha is Chal because he started to chew the food before swallow, but more correct is you shouldn't talk till after you swallow. So again, so we assume the bracha is chal on the first morsel of food. So that's why we had the Gemara learned that from a pasuk Eretz Chita Zor VeGefen Atena Verim. The pasuk lists off the shivus aminim shenishtapcha behem Eretz Yisrael has halachic significance, not stam that is praising Eretz Yisrael. What is the halachic significance of the shivus aminim? So number one, a din deraisa, you only chayvin bikurim on the shivus aminim. Then number two, the Gemara says, "Kala kaidim a pasuk kaidim." They're written in a specific order. So chita is more important than soira, and chita is more important than eretz zeis shem ledvash. Chita is more important than zayis, and zayis is more important than soira, and soira is more important than dvash tmorim. Whatever is carved to eretz kama, whatever is carved to eretz basra, the whole system. Whatever appears first in the pasuk has kedima benigyeh to what? Lamayin afkamina has kedima. So the Pnei Yeshua says, "Benegeta achilas ma'isa sheni, benegeta achilas bikurim." You should always perform. Let's say you're about to perform two mitzvahs. As far as I'm concerned, I could do mitzvah A and then B, or do mitzvah B and then A. To me, it doesn't make a difference. But let's say one mitzvah is much more important than the other. What is mekudesh ve'ena mekudesh? I'm in the Azara and I can either shech the korban oil was a kochim kochim, I can shech the other balabas as a korban shlamim, which is a kochim kalim. So the Mishnah says in Perek al Atadir, I think that's in Zochem and Daf Peites, that's the beginning of the Perek. If you have Tadir v'shein a Tadir, Tadir kodim, if you have Mekudish v'ein a Mekudish, Mekudish kodim, the mitzvah that's more important, you should take care of first. So here the Torah tells us that if you have, you can eat. There's a mitzvah to eat Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. There's a mitzvah to eat Bikurim in Yerushalayim. So let's say you have Bikurim from the Shivas Aminim. So the Kohen can either eat the Chita cookie first or the Sora cookie first. Or he can eat the Chita cookie first or he has olives. And Eretz Yisrael have a lot of olives. He can eat the olives first. So which is Kodem? So the Pasuk tells you which is Kodem. Chita, Zeis Shemen, Sora, then Dvash Tamarim, and then Gevin Tainim Arima, and that order goes in the ascending order, the way it's mentioned in the Pasuk. The Gemara takes that Pasuk and applies it to Birchas Hanenin. If you have two different things, I'm interested in eating a cookie, and I'm also interested in eating a date. So the cookie is made from chitim, from wheat flour, and the date is dvash tamarim, from a date. So which one takes precedence? So this is Mezainis, and this is Bar Pihuetz. So the Gemara says, since this is chita and that's the dvash, so the chita precedes the dvash. So this is this only has a chashivas on the level of the raisa. There is no such thing as birchas hanenin. On the level of rabbanan, that there is such a thing, so the pasuk goes on that as well. But what does the original pasuk go on? That it's given in a specific order. If you hold that the order is relevant, la loche. So the Pnei Shul says it tells you the order of achilas ma'aseh sheni v'achilas achilas bikur. So the and on the level of the rabbanon that it goes on bichas hanenin. So let's say you're eating chitim cookies and sorim cookies. So it doesn't make it. There's going to be the same bracha barim mina mizaynus. So it doesn't make a difference whether you eat first the chitim cookie or the sorim cookie. So the Gemara says yes, because we assume the bracha is chal on the first bit of food that you eat. The rest of the food, you don't have to, it doesn't need a bracha. Not that the bracha is chal on heaven, doesn't need a bracha. So that would constitute a hita mitzvah, to have the bracha recited over the first bit of food. That should be chita. It should go in descending order, the way it's mentioned in the Chumash. So here the Gemara says that's one mila. We learn out from the pasuk, Geres chita, Sarva, Geffen, Teinu, Riman. Since the pasuk writes it in a specific order, so that's one seder kedima. Tosis calls it mishum da akdame kro. The Tosis amametes amet beis dima maschal avol prusa. So that's one chashivas akdame kro. Then you have another chashivas. Let's say one chala is bigger than the other. So the one that's bigger is mistama ahida mitzvah. You should say the bracha on that one. What if one is a shlema, what is not a shlema, one is a pusa? So the Rashi seems to learn that that's a machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan, whether shlema constitutes a milo or not. So the Gemara says, Aviyu lefneihem ptisin ushlemen. You have big chalas left over from Shabbos, but they're not shlemas. Then you have shlemen, tiny little shlemas. You have small. So the shlema is smaller, and the prusa, the one that's cut already, is ptisin, it's bigger pieces. So that seems to be the way Rashi learns. That's machlegs Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan. Rav Huna holds that there's no maila to shlema at all. Maila, shlema is lamala v'lamorid. The fact that one is a shalem, one is not, that's lamala v'lamorid. But size is a madrega, size is more important. So if you have ptisin and shleman, so you can say the bracha on either one. Mevorach al ptisin if you want to, poitas al shleiman. It's optional. Whatever you want, you can do. That's how Rashi seems to learn. Rav Yechanan disagrees. He says, no, that there is a maila of gadlus, which food is bigger in size. I'm not going to eat the whole thing. I'm just going to eat part of it. Whether I eat this one, I'm not going to eat the whole thing. But the one that's larger has hashivas. And Rabbi Yechanan holds that shlema is a more important maila than large in size. Yeah, Rashi learned that's a machlokes. How does Rabbi Natam learn? Rabbi Natam is not happy with Rashi. So Rabbi Natam learns that according to Rav, they both agree. No, come on. According to Rabbi Natam, they both agree that there's a maila of gadlus and that there's a maila of shlemus. They both agree to that. And Rav Huna holds that if one food has a maila of shlemus, it's a dovah sholem, a chala shlema, and one is a prusa, but it's bigger in size. So this has one maila, that has one maila. So it's optional. Whichever one you want to say the bracha on, you can say, because each one has one maila. And Rabbi Yechanan disagrees, and he says, no, that the maila of shlema beats out the maila of gadlus in size, in volume. And then Tosfos proceeds to prove that we paskan like Rabbi Yechanan. How do they prove? Because Rabbi Yechanan beats out when you paskan when he disagrees with Rav. And Rav Huna, we paskan like Rav. So if Rabbi Yechanan beats out Rav, and Rav beats out Rav Huna, so it's a kal v'chomer, then whenever there's machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Rav Huna, we should paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. So that's what Tosfos makes the whole calculation. We should paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. Okay. I usually have a klal hilchos al kibas ro'i. So Rav Huna was later. So Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim, no, that klal, this is the last two lines in the Tosfos, mevorach al ptisin. So that klal hilchos al kibas ro'i only applies Bamaroi Basroi. And the late Amaroim, the Goinim say, Me'abai V'rova V'yelach, starting from Abai V'rova, that's in later generations. Because in the later generations, they were working more on Halacha L'maisa. So if the later Amaroim took everything into consideration, that the Tanoim and the earlier Amoraim said, and they came to a conclusion disagreeing with their predecessors, and then we assume they took everything into consideration. We should paskin like them. But in the earlier generation, they weren't so much into paskin and bimivar halacha l'maisa. They were more interested historically. That's what they said. They were more interested in opening up the world of ideas, bringing out new ideas. So they may not necessarily have taken into consideration everything that the previous Chachamim said. So that's what Tosfos says. We pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, even though he preceded Rav Huna, and you don't say Hilchos Gebasroi, because Rav Huna was before the days of Abai V'Rabbi. That style that you work on Halacha L'maaseh, that began historically in yeshivas. There were different trends until the Chazon Ish had a big influence in Eretz Yisrael. I know all of my yeshivas. So in Europe, in the yeshivas, they wouldn't look in a Shulchan Aruch. They weren't interested. They didn't know anything about Kiddush, Havdalah, Legen Tefillin, Davening, Miri Yeshiva, Telzi Yeshiva. They couldn't care less. There was most of the people. And it's only because the Chazon Ish was so upset about that, and he instilled it, so he had a big influence. The Gedolim before him didn't have such an influence. He had an influence that the whole focus changed. And people, when they're learning Gemara, he didn't have an influence on everybody. Some people still couldn't care less about what the Pesach Halach is, but he had a big influence on most people. So that's the topic that's under discussion over here. Is there's an inyan of Hida Mitzvah, and the bracha is chal on the first morsel of food that you're going to swallow, and the rest is muta b'li bracha. So that's the shaila. How do you do a Hida Mitzvah? The cheftza shal mitzvah of the birchas hanenin, the first bit of food. So which is the higher mila? Is it shleima? Is it gedoila? Or is it chita? So that's what the Gemara says. That everybody agrees. If you have one is chita, prusa shal chita mishleima min asem derach mevarach ala prusa shal chita mpertas ha-shleima. Why? Because agne mekro? Because chita precedes the ora. That's a real pasuk. That's a din deraisa. That's a din deraisa. That's a makar nechumisha. That beats out the klal of shleima. That beats out the klal of gedoyla as well. Yeah. What's the topic of hafrosha struma? What they mixed in about hafrosha struma? So Tosfos quotes there is a pasuk. Baharim chemes chelbo mimenu. Lo sisu alav chayit. Baharim chemes chelbo mimenu. The Gemara says in Tmurin, the first berak, HaTorim men haroa ala yofe. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin also. If you Torim men haroa ala yofe, so you're in violation of the Pasuk, Barim chem es chelbo. Chelbo means the mufcho. You should always be mafrish trumis men ayofe. Or here, if you're mafrish hafrash eschalo, hafrash eschalo, hafrash eschalo, so it should always be men amufcho. So the Tanoim have a machlekes, which is the mufcho? A botzel shalem or a botzel gadol, the largest size? Okay. So then the Gemara suggests, if there's Ika Koyin, the first white line, the Gemara suggests, Hechad Ika Koyin, if there's a coin available, and I've got a mafish to give it to him right away, it's Kuli Amla Pligi, the Choshevara, give him the bigger butzel. What should he give? What does he need a Shlema for? Ki Plig Hechad Deleka Koyin. Oh, so Hechad Deleka Koyin, so then the first Tana says, Kalmok Mishain Koyin, Torimen Amiskayim, be mafish something from the Dovishon, because it's going to last longer. So you're going to find the coin is going to take a while. So it makes sense to be mafrish min a miskayim. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Says no, Torah min a yofe always takes precedence because of that pasuk. Arim chemes chel b'memenu. That's a real din derasa. You have to be Torah min a yofe. Then the Gemara has the din that on Shabbos you need lechem mishnah zeichalamon. On Yontif we assume you also need lechem mishnah zeichalamon. On Shabbos, in addition to lechem mishnah, you need shalosh sudah zeichalamon. Ayom, ayom, ayom. Ayontif, most of the Rishonim assume you do not need Shalosh Sudas. The Vilna Gaon and the Be'er Agra points out that it's a Beferish Yerushalmi and the end of Maseches Maaseh Sheni, that there's no Shalosh Sudas on Yontif, only on Shabbos. The Rambam writes against the Yerushalmi. That's unusual. The Rambam is the one who will quote more Yerushalmis than anybody else. So the Rambam over here leaves out this Yerushalmi. The Rambam holds that even on Yontif you also need Shalosh Sudas. Logically, it makes sense if you need lechem mishnah yontif, because the Gemara says on the first staff in Beitza that not only did the mon not fall down on Shabbos, as is described in the Chumash, mon didn't fall down on yontif either. That's a beferish in Gemara. So if you have a takana de rabbanon that you need lecha mishnah zecha leman, and it applies to Shabbos and to Yantav, so you should require also shalosh sudas on Yantav. That's a problem why you don't have. The Ramah has malava malkam at so Yantav also. He says there's a mitzvah of kibud v'yoneg. So einig is what the Vilna Gaon says the definition. So einig what the pleasure that you have on Shabbos and on Yantav. The Gemara seems to say b'feirish the kibud v'yoneg only applies. Kibud v'yoneg is a pasuk in Yeshaya. The karas of the Shabbos einig mikdosh Hashem mechubah. So the Gemara is b'feirish and beitz and p'soch and the kibud v'yoneg is only on Shabbos, does not apply to Yantav. But somehow the Rambam went out against the Gemara. The Rambam writes that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos, Zachar v'Shama, Kibud v'Yoinig, and all four carry over to Yantav. So somehow, for some reason or another, the Rambam's opinion was accepted against the Gemara. How did he disagree with the Gemara? We're not sure. So what does it mean, Kibud v'Yoinig? So the Vilna Gaon, the Bir Agron Hilchas Simchas Yantav, in the Mishnah Berurah, it's the end of Chelakei. So the Bir Agron says that Oinig is the pleasure that you have on Shabbos from eating the delicious food and wearing the fancy begodim. You have pleasure from the fact the house is so neat and clean and the table is set in such a beautiful fashion. The food is so delicious. Everything is different. So that's Einik. And Kibud is what you do in the weekdays before and after Shabbos. So part of Kvod Shabbos is to bid Shabbos farewell by having a Malava Malka. So the Rambam writes that the four dinim, Zocha v'Shama, Kibud v'Yoni, carry over from Shabbos to Yontov. That's why the Rambam wrote that Zocha means to recite Kiddush. Zachrei walaya zocha means lahazikir, not to remember the day of Sabbath, but to mention lahazikir, to speak about Kedushas HaShabbos, to recite Kiddush. So just like Kiddush carries over from Shabbos to Yantav, Kibud v'Yoinig also carries over. So part of Kvod Shabbos is to have a Malava Malka, to show Kovod. Whatever you do on Shabbos, you enjoy Shabbos, that's Oinig. And the Kovod is, whatever you do in preparation for Shabbos, or to bid Shabbos farewell, you have Malava Malka. So that's Kvod Shabbos. So Kibud v'Yoinig carries over from Shabbos to Yantav. So you have to have Malava Malka on Mitzvah Yantav. That's what it says in the Rambam. They say the Brisker Rav always used to be Bakvit to have a Malava Malka on Mitzvah. What Malka? The Malka Shabbos on Malka. Yantav is not Malka. But we call it Malava Malka. Whatever you call it. But the minig olam is that you don't have Malava Malka on Mitzvah Yantav. But the Rambam says he's supposed to have. So again, so the Gemara said there's a din of Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. This poses a question, what do you do on Pesach night? The Gemara said on Pesach night you have to have Lechem Oni. What does it mean Lechem Oni? So the Gemara has different levels of interpretation, what's implied by the Lechem Oni. So one din is that Madak shall not be Prusa. The poor man can't afford to go buy chalas. He can't afford to bake his own chalas. He's too poor. So the Navi Yeshaya encourages the wealthy people, give, break off a piece of bread. I don't expect you, the Navi doesn't expect the rich people to give a chalosh lema to the poor man. But he says, you have a big Italian bread, so break off half the bread and give a prusa to the Ani. Give him a prusa. So the Madaka Shalani b'prusa, the poor people have to settle with the bilti shlema, with the prusa. So Pesach night, when you want to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, should be lechemoni, it should be with a prusa. So that's why you have to dafke have a prusa. Then you learn out other dinim from lechemoni, that if you have made peiris, then it's matzah shira, so that's not acceptable. That's one kind of matzah shira. The Gemara has another matzah shira, if it's matzah mevushelas, if you cook the matzah, after baking it, then you cook it, so if you mevashel it, then it becomes matzah shira, and it's not acceptable for the mitzvah. Then the Gemara has another kind, if it's gigantic, a very big matzah, that's also called a matzah shiri, even though it doesn't have anything unusual, just have flour and water, the same as everything else, but it's too big. If it's so big, then it's called a matzah shiri. So the Rambam says the minig is that you make very thin matzahs, less than an etzba. So that's the Ashkenazi matzahs and the Sephardi matzahs, they're all less than an etzba. The Rambam never said it has to be crackly matzahs the way we have. The Mishnah Berurah talks about if you have matzahs that are spongy matzahs, so he says it's good for the kazayas. Tiny little holes are mitzdarfim to the kazayas. If you have big holes, they're not mitzdarfim. But you're not mechuyev to crush it together to the best of your ability. You crush it a little bit. Spongy bread, a spongy cake, so you eat the less and it'll still be considered a kazayas. So all of these are included in the din of Lechem Oni. Everything is based on the pasuk Lechem Oni. Then you have Lechem Oni, lechem she'anim olav dvarim habe, that the matzah should be on the table at the time that they tell Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's the shaila. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we assume there's a din of lechem mishneh, and on Pesach night there's a din you need lechem oini. So where does that leave you? I mean, you have 2.5 matzahs, or you have 1.5 matzahs? You have 2.5 means you need lechem mishneh, you need 2 shleignas, and then either the broken matzah because of lechem oini. So you have to have 2.5 matzahs. So that's most have that practice. You start off with 3, and then you break 1.5 yachatz. Karashuchatz karpas yachatz. You break 1 matzah in half. So then you start magid. When you start magid, you do a lechem shonim ala dvarim habi on the prusa. That's what the Marami Prag says. Why do you have yachatz at the beginning of the Haggadah, right after the Kiddush? Because you need lechem odin, lechem shonim ala dvarim habi. You want to recite avonim hayinu lefarbi Mitzrayim. You want to tell it over lechem shonim ala dvarim habi, over the medarkin shalani beprusa. So that's why you break the prusa. So you have 2.5. That's where the common practice. And then others follow the sheet of the Vilna Gaon, who follows the Rambam, that no, how is that a prusa? You have 2.5 matzahs. You have 2 shleimus and a prusa. No. The idea of lechem oni, prusa is that unlike every other Shabbos and Yom Tov meal that you have lechem mishneh, 2 shleimus, you should dafka not have 2 shleimus. You should only have 1 shleima and 1 prusa. So you start off with 2 matzahs and you break once, you're left with 1.5. Rav Soloveitchik had that practice because in Valozhin, the Soloveitchik family came from Valozhin. So they used to follow. Valozhin was founded by Abchaim Valozhin, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And Moshe Feinstein also had that practice. He started off with 2 matzahs. Then when he had the Haggadah, he had 1.5 matzahs. His son, Rav Reuven Feinstein, follows everything that the father did. Rav David Feinstein doesn't always follow everything. So this, Rav David Feinstein doesn't follow his father. He uses 2.5 matzahs, like everybody else. But Reuven Feinstein follows his father all the time, everything. So the Tosfos in Pesachim has that machlokes. Here, Tosfos introduces a half of the story that they have in Pesachim. There is usually a din of Einos HaMitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. Where do you have Einos HaMitzvos Chavilos Chavilos? So we had it a little bit on Mem Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Ein Chosmim B'Shtayim. That you're not allowed to say, you shouldn't have 1 chasima, you shouldn't have 2 chasimas, shouldn't combine together several brochas together. We gave the marshal a person that comes in late to shul and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mokenim Malach Ha'olam. He says all the 15 brichas al shachar together. And those are the sechwing al hachem yem and medlaid l'shlos, ani gloi v'shlos, ani yovet v'shlos, ani isha, v'pekechivim and mal b'sharum, and he says everything. So that's a violation of Ein Chosmim B'Shtayim. You're not allowed to do that. Then the Magen Avraham adds on that even Midyevit, if you did it, you're not Yotze all the last 14 brochas, I'm Yotze the first brocha. That's a din of Ein Chosmim Mitzvos Chavilos, Ein Chosmim B'Shtayim. Yeah. Where else do you have Ein Chosmim Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos? So it's really a sugya in the first parak in Soita that you're not allowed to line up a whole bunch of couples, and you're going to put an advertisement in the newspaper that whoever has an Eved Ivri and he wants to stay on after Sheish, so they should come to the Bezdin office on Sunday morning. We're going to do Ritzias Eved Ivri. So you're going to have, the Bezdin's going to be sitting there with a drill, and they're going to be drilling holes in people's ears. You're going to have everybody lined up. So that's Ein Reitzim Shnei Avodim Kachas. Or you're going to put an advertisement in the newspaper, this coming Monday morning, next Monday morning, we're going to have in the Beis HaMikdosh, going to take care of all the Seitas in the world. So whoever was choshed his wife business should come on Sunday, and everybody's lined up, and we're going to do mass production, one after the other, after the other. So that's a violation of Ein Chosmim Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. That's the Gemara and Seita on the first pair. Different cases of Ein Chosmim Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. What else the Gemara has? The Gemara in Avi Pesachim has another din. You're not allowed to, what we do all the time. You say Shalashudas, you have Shalashudas, then you bend Shalakos. And then you say Havdalah in the same cup of wine. And you didn't drink the wine after the benching. So you're supposed to drink the wine after the Bichus Hamas. And then you're supposed to have another cup of wine for the Havdalah. So we don't drink the wine. So the Gemara says, You're going to say Bichus Hamas on Havdalah. And on the same course, you're going to say Bichus Havdalah on the course. So that's not right. That's a violation of Ein Chosmim Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. Yeah, strictly speaking, the Magen Avraham explains, strictly speaking, you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, when Shabbos is over. So let's say you finish Shalosh Shudas, and you bench, and it's already nighttime, it's already Tzeisar Kochavim. So you're not allowed to, you're allowed to drink water before Havdalah, that's about all. Before Kiddush, on Friday night, before Kiddush, you're not even allowed to have a cup of water. Because whatever you eat and drink on Shabbos has chashivas. So even to drink water before Kiddush is also, you got to say Kiddush before you have anything. Then once you say Kiddush, you have to have Kiddush Mokum Sudi, you should wash as soon as possible. But on Matzoi Shabbos, drinking water on the weekday is not so important. So to drink water before Havdalah, that's okay. The Gemara says, that's not so bad. Sometimes you have a Shabbaton and you have a speaker who's speaking on Friday night in between Kabbalah, Shabbos, and Baruch Hu, and his throat is dry, so he starts drinking water. So it's Keneged Adin. It's not about drink water before Kiddush. It's already Higiyas Man Kiddush. But if the speaker is speaking on Matzoi Shabbos and drinks water, that's not so bad. The Gemara said to drink water Matzoi Shabbos before Havdalah, that's okay. So the... So the Magen Avraham says, "Meikar Adin, even though you're not allowed to eat or drink before Havdalah, but to drink the Kois Shal Bichus Hamaz and after the Shalashudas, Meikar Adin is Mutter, because that's considered a Hemshech of the Shalashudas. Even to the extent there was an opinion in the Sefer Halachas Gedolos that when you drink the wine, the cup of Kois Shal Bichus Hamaz and after the benching, you don't have to say Broch Achreina Al Gevin Al Pi Gevin, because it's covered with the Bichus Hamaz that you said before." It's covered with the Bechaz Mazen that said before they drank it, because the drinking of the wine is considered as if it's a Hemshech, part of the meal. So we don't accept that opinion. We hold that you have to say Allah Geffen if you drink enough of the wine of the Kosher Brocha. You have to say Allah Geffen, Valpia Geffen. But still is considered, Magen Avraham says, not considered drinking wine before Havdalah. This wine that you're drinking is a Hemshech of the Shalashudas. It's a Hemshech of the Shalashudas. However, our minig is, the Magen Avraham says, since our practice is, can't call it a minig, it's not right. Our practice is that we usually do not recite Birchas Hamoz on Alakos. Medina de Gemara Tzamach Leik is Hatanaim. And some Tanaim hold even when you bench Bechidus, you're supposed to bench Alakos. And we don't even do it all week long. We bench Mezumin. We bench Mezumin without a kos. A lot of times we bench without a kos. So we demonstrate that as far as we're concerned, you really don't need a cup of wine for the Birchas Hamoz. We're demonstrating, even if you don't need, but all the Tanaim agree that it enhances the chashivas, the significance of the Birchas Hamoz, and elevates it to the level of a bracha al kos. There's a bracha al kos. The Gemara says, Shechiano Aymer Afila Bashuk, on Yom Yotayvim, Rosh Hashanah, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Strictly speaking, say Shechiano while you're walking in the street also. Aymer Afila Bashuk. That's the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Amud Beis. But the Gemara says it's preferable to save it, to recite it at the end of the Kiddush, so you'll elevate the significance of the Bracha Shechiano, you make it into a Bracha Alakos. Adds more Chashiva. So everybody agrees, even if you hold Birchas Hamazon and Ein Atuna Kos, but still everyone agrees, if you say Birchas Hamazon and Alakos, you enhance the Chashivas of the benching. So it's not right. We should really do it all week long. We should really do it even if you're eating Bechidus, even with Adamzon. But Lamaisa, we don't do it. So the Magen Avraham says, that's why when it comes Shalashudas time, we have the practice, we don't drink the wine after we recite Birchas Hamoz, because you can't really say with a straight face that this wine is a Hemshech of the Shalashudas, because all week long, we always bench and we don't bench Alakos. So we demonstrate that it's not part of the, you really didn't need it. Even though everyone agrees that it does enhance the Chashivas of the Birchas Hamoz and to elevate it to the level of a Birchas Alakos. Doesn't always make sense to say every bracha lakos. Let's say a guy's going to put on his tefillin. He's going to say, going to have a cup of wine. Shegazam zano laniach tefillin. Certain brachas doesn't make sense to say alayayin. Somehow bichas eris and medina de gemara, in the days of the gemara, they did not recite bichas eris and alayayin. That was instituted in the days of the goyim. So that's interesting that the bichas eris and they added that on. In the days of Gemara, they didn't have Alayayin. They had Birchas Nisuin. Some Goyim had the Girs in the Gemara. They had Birchas Nisuin Alayayin. But Birchas Erisin, it doesn't seem that they had it. They added that on a later generation. Let's say a person going to say, over a cup of wine. They never instituted it. Why? Because before davening, that's why. Maybe, I don't know. Or because some brachas lend themselves, some brachas don't. If it's a toast, a bracha alakos is a toast. So it depends on the nature of the bracha. If you have a shever brachas, let's say you had a shever brachas by Shalashudas, so then Nachrenim say you always have a cup of wine by Sheva Brachos. The Chasson Kala always drink the wine. The bench alakos, most of the time we bench not alakos. So the Magen Avraham says, since all week long, Ruba de Ruba, we bench a lo alakos, so by Shalashudas, if you're gonna bench, you shouldn't drink the kos, because the drinking can't really be considered a hemshach of the Shalashudas, because all week long we don't do that. But Sheva Brachos, you always have alakos. So that's what many Achrayim say. When you add a Sheva Brachos by Shalashudas, you should bench alakos and say the Brichas, the Sheva Brachos, the Brichas Nisuin, alakos, and the Chos and Kala should drink, because they always drink. Whenever the Sheva Brachos, they always drink. Never heard of a Sheva Brachos that they don't drink the wine. They always drink the wine. So that's the Machlokes in the days of the Rishonim about how many matzahs you have. Whether you have 2.5 matzahs, 1.5 matzahs. So Tosfos introduces a concept. What is that all about? So we had, before Pesach, we were discussing Rabbi Yosef Tuvelem, his name was Bonfi. That's a family name. So the Balei HaTosfos converted the French two words, the Bonfi, Tuvelem, a good boy, Tuvelem. Rabbi Yosef Tuvelem wrote a piyut for Shabbos HaGadol that many shuls still say. It's printed in all the Sidurim. In the Orz HaRuach, he has tall pages, he has quite a few pages, writing commentary from one of the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbi Shimon Lifalaiza, also a French city, writing commentary on the piyut of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelem. So Tosfos in Arvei Pesachim quotes snippets from the piyut, and they're explaining what he said. So part of what he said was that the reason why the Chachamim introduced Karpas, they say Bar Pi Adama at the beginning of the Seder, is because you're going to have maror in the middle of the meal, and the maror tastes bitter, it doesn't fit in. And whenever you eat something in the middle of the meal that doesn't fit in, let's say someone's going to have a drink of schnapps in the middle of the meal. Schnapps just doesn't fit into the meal. He's going to have ice cream in the middle of the meal. If he said amoitzi, then that covers the main course, it covers the soup, it covers, we assume it covers the entree. Even if you have, let's say, a fruit cup in the beginning, you have a half of a grapefruit, or you have something, some melon or something, so that's lahamshech tavis achila, so that's a machlekes in the Rashba. If you have the fruit cup, lahamshech tavis achila, to develop your appetite, is that also called varma boy machmas hasuda? So we say everything is covered with the hamoitze. But if you have ice cream in the middle of the meal, ice cream doesn't fit in. That's not an order to fill you up. That's a snack. A guy has a drink of schnapps. Schnapps has nothing to do with the meal. By East European Jews, they have a meaning. Whenever they eat fish, they take a drink of schnapps. So the Kitzah has a machlokes about that. If you had fish, and the fish was part of the meal, that was, of course, in the meal. And then the meaning has it that you drink schnapps after. So maybe the schnapps became Dvarim Abayim Achmas Asudah because of the fish. Because that's such a strong meaning. Whenever you have fish, you have schnapps. Maybe it became Dvarim Abayim Achmas Asudah. In Yiddish folklore, they say the reason why you have schnapps is because when Yonah was swallowed by the whale, so he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he got out. He got out of the stomach of the whale. So we're afraid that the fish already learned the secret. So after we eat the fish, we're afraid they may pray and they'll get out of our stomach. So we make them shikha, and the shikha is also the hispalel, so the problem is solved. So the fish cannot pray, so they won't get out of our stomach. Yiddish folklore, they have explanations for everything. They're very, that's Jewish, very rich. Jewish folklore. They have a lot of Yeshuvinic stories, a lot of stories. All the very rich literature. So Rabbi Yosef Tuvelem has this problem that he's working with. You eat the maror in the middle of the meal. Who eats bitter herbs in the middle of the meal? Doesn't make any sense. So it's not, you can't really call it Rabbi Abay Machmas Hasuda. So you got to say a bracha bar pri hadam before you eat the maror. But then you're going to have to say another bracha al achilas maror. You can't say two brachas over the same thing. That's a violation of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs. Chavilas, chavilas. The same bit of food is going to serve as the chefta shal mitzvah for reciting the Birchas Hanenin, and it's going to serve as the mitzvah for eating maror. So that's not right. So they instituted Bar Pri Hadam on the Karpas before. But why did they institute it so early before? All the way before Avodah Hayinu. All the way in the beginning. Why didn't they institute it right before Netilas Yadayim? Right before Hamaitzi, one thing instituted there. So that's what the Gemara gives the reason that the children should see that there's something strange going on, and they shouldn't fall asleep. So we do it in the beginning of the meal to arouse the interest of the children, to keep them interested that they shouldn't fall asleep. But that's the reason why you moved it to the beginning of the meal, as opposed why you moved it to the beginning of the Seder before Avodah Mayinu, as opposed to right before Hamoitzi. But why did they institute it at all? So Rabbi Yosef Tuvalim says, that's my reason. Because I know some mitzvahs, chavilus, chavilus. So Tosis is unhappy with, they quote this from Rabbi Yosef Tuvalim and they disagree. They say, that's not called chavilus, 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 chavilus. If you're going to do two mitzvahs, but a bichas hanenin with a mitzvah, that's not chavilus, chavilus. For Haraya, Tosis says, we say kiddush, we say baruch pagof, and then you use the cup of wine to serve as the chepz over which you're going to say the bichas hanenin, baruch pagof, then you're going to use it to recite the kiddush over it. So you're reciting two brochas over the same cup of wine, the bichas hanenin, with the kiddush. So you see that doesn't pose a problem. What does Rabbi Yosef Tuvalim think? Astaka strange. So we said the Netziv in the Hagdamah to his Haggadah comes to defend Rabbi Yosef Tuvalim. So he says apparently he thinks that there's a difference, that the Bara Pri Hagofen of the Kiddush blends in to be part of the Kiddush. It's considered a Chelek of the Kiddush. The Bara Pri Hagofen doesn't blend in to be parenting, does not blend in to become part of the Haggadah. But apparently. But the Bara Pri Hagofen of the Kiddush blends in. So on Friday night, we understand that because Shabbos, we celebrate, we commemorate Bria Sa'olam. And we say, Borei Pri Hagafen, this is part of the Bria. But we say, Borei Pri Hagafen on Yom Tov, also on Kiddush. So why does it become an integral part of the Kiddush on Yom Tov also, that we don't really have an explanation. But that was the taina that Tosis has. So our Kiddush, Mevarach, the Kiddush, that's... four lines from the bottom of the bottom tesis on Lamed Tes on the base. A kiddush mevorchim, kiddush abichos hayayin. So that's tesis taina. That's not a violation of chavilus chavilus. But Rabbi Yosef Tuvalim holds that it is. The tesis says over here, you have to have lecha mishnah. We have 2.5 matzah. You have to have lecha mishnah because every Shabbos and Yantav you need lecha mishnah zecha leman. Then you have to have prusa. So we have 2.5 matzah. So how much do you have to eat? So on the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Rosh that you have to eat 2 kezaisim. 1 kezais, that's in general the question. On Yontif and Shabbos, you have the mitzvah of Suda. Suda means pas, you have to wash. We had the Gemara later that if a person forgot to say Ritzei in Yalav Yavai, on Shabbos and Yontif, he has to bench over again. Rosh Soloveitchik can explain, he's Yotze the benching, but he's not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. Wrong Yotze Suda Shabbos if you have pas. And to be kaveh the suit as it says, you got to mention Ritzei and Yalav Yavai and the Birchas Hamazon. Fine. So the taste, how much bread do you have to eat? How much of a volume of bread do you have to eat? So you look in the Mishnah Berurah, so you quote 3 opinions. So one opinion is yidik azayis, achila, ain't achila b'chusim kazayis. The other opinion is no, but you want to have achila b'kviyas. So the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, the Mishnah says, "Ochel ma'aroi chutz l'sukkah." It's permissible to eat achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. The kama aroi, the Gemara asks, how much is called achilas aroi? So the Gemara says, if you're eating bread up until and including a kebetza of bread, yotze mikebetza is already called achilas keva. So some shanim say that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you want to have an achilas keva, not stam an achila. So you should really eat a kebetza of bread. Then the others say, what is an up kebetza? Kibetza up until and including the kibetza is achilas aroi. It should be yosem the kibetza. So that's the pot if you're going to. The kibetza doesn't make sense. There's one opinion, kazayas. Achila. You want to have an achila bread. Then there's one opinion, kibetza, based on the Gemara in Sukkah. Ochel ma'aroi chutz l'sukkah. So you should have said that's achilas aroi. You want to have achilas keva. So it should be yosem the kibetza. The sheet of kibetza, the middle sheet, is hard to understand. When the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the 3 opinions, how much bread do you have to eat? And then we mentioned that there's 2 opinions in Tosfos on the opening Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim. If the Mekabel Shabbos early, this season of the year, many of the shuls are davening Ma'ariv early. On Friday nights, the people are going to come home and they're going to say Kiddush. They'll soon be saying Kiddush before the sun sets. They'll soon, the sun will still be shining. Some shuls are going to daven so early. They'll come home and they'll make Kiddush and the sun is still shining. Then you have to have Kiddush, Malkum Suda, you have to wash right away. So then they'll wash to have bread. In the Minig America, we don't eat so much bread. All week long, we don't eat bread. Years ago, bread was Alalech Miyachio Adam. bread was the main staple of food. That was the main course in every meal was eight slices of bread. He ate a lot of bread. But by us, we don't eat so much bread. So that's 2 days in Tosfos. You made Kiddush when the sun is still shining. The Gemara says on Daf Chav Zayin, that's acceptable. Then you have to have Kiddush, Malkum Sudas, you have to wash and you have to start eating right away. What if you had your Yoytze Mikabetza bread or your Kazais, whatever you had, you had it when the sun was still shining. Are your Yoytze Kiddush Bizman Tosef and Shabbos? Apparently, but the question is, are your Yoytze Suda Shabbos? So because of the two opinions in Tosfos, the Taz writes in Hilchos Shabbos, the correct practice should be, you should eat after Tzeis HaKachavim, after for sure. It says, come, you should continue to eat either kazayis or kebetza, yosem kebetza, or bread, to make sure that you're yotze, that you're fulfilling the Suda Shabbos, the requirement for Suda Shabbos. So again, so Tosfos here, the bottom Tosfos assumes how much bread do you have to eat in order to be yotze Suda Shabbos? Kazayis. There's what the dingzach. You can say you need a kebetza, you can say you really need yosem kebetza. Tosfos assumes that it's kazayis. And Tosfos says, in Eisem Mitzvahs Chavilus Chavilois requires of us that you should really say Hamotzi on one piece of bread and Al Achilus. Well, it's Pesach, so we'll leave out the bread. You should say Hamotzi on one matzah, and you should say Al Achilus matzah on a different matzah. So Tosfos says, so your problem is solved. You have two shleimus. That's Zechel Aman Lechem Mishnah, like every Shabbos and Yontif. So you should eat the kazais from one of the two shleimus. Then you should eat, because of mitzvahs matzah, lechamoni, you have to eat a prusa. So you should eat a full kazais from a prusa. You should eat a full kazais from a shleima, because of Suda Shabbos. The two unrelated mitzvahs, Tosfos holds. There's a mitzvah of Sudas Yontif, so you need a kazais of matzah for that, and that should be from one of the two shleimus. You should have a kazais from the shleima. Then you should have another kazais from the prusa, but the other mitzvah, Avalachilos matzah. You have to have two kizais, and you can't kill two birds with one stone. You can't be yotze two different mitzvahs with one matzah, because they're two different mitzvahs, two different chiyuv. The Mishnah Berurah has a long bir halacha, and the Hilchos Pesach is unhappy why the Shulchan Aruch quoted like that you have to have two kizais, one kizais from one of the shleimus, and one kizais from the prusa, because they're two different mitzvahs. He makes it as if that's such a minority opinion. Why did the Shulchan Aruch quote? Why is it a minority opinion? There's a big fat Tosfos over here also. There's not some minority. The Tosfos over here talks like that. Some of the, in the, there's a Sefer Aguda, nothing to do with the political organization of Aguda. Aguda was follows usually in the Rosh, the footsteps of the Rosh. Aguda is quoted in Shulchan Aruch all the time. I remember when I was learning Yeridaeus, I once needed the Aguda because the Shach quoted. So I remember I borrowed from the Shul, from my father's Shul. So I was walking home. So one of the Balabatim was very upset why I'm looking in the Aguda. He thought it has something to do with the Aguda. It had nothing to do with the Aguda. Aguda is a Rishon. So the Aguda has on this, the whole Aguda is in one volume. So the Aguda has on this Gemara. The Gemara is a Menich Prusa B'toch HaShleimo. How can it be B'toch HaShleimo? So he says, arrive from the Losh and B'toch that you need two Shleimas and one Prusa. If you have one and a half, not two and a half, so how is it B'toch? Yeah, but if you have two and a half, so how is it B'toch HaShleimo? Should he say B'toch HaShleimos? So however you slice it, you have a problem over here. Why does it say Toch? And why, if it already says Toch, why doesn't it say Shleimos? That's a question. Okay. The Netziv writes, when we learned the first parak we discussed, the Netziv writes in the Meshiv Davar that the Minig in Valojin used to be that they had so many roles for Shabbos. By the time came Shalosh Udas, so the first couple of people who washed had Lechem Mishnah Shleimus. By the time it came the second half of the Talmidim, they didn't have already two Shleimus, Lechem Mishnah. So he says the Minig in the Yeshiva would be that they would take two prusas, they would take, someone had started all the other challahs, they would take two challahs that there was a half a challah, and they would use that for lechem mishnah. So the question is, does that have any value at all? L'chayre, we usually assume that the lechem mishnah requires that they should both be shleimus. So he says, no, it doesn't have to be both shleimus. Take, for example, according to the Rambam, and the Vilna Gaon's practice, you have 1.5 matzahs on Pesach night, because lechem oni has to be a prusa, madak shalani be prusa. So how are you at lechem mishnah with 1.5? The answer is you have more than one. So if you have two that are both prusas, so you also have lechem mishnah. More correct is you should have two shlemas. But if you have 1.5, you have two prusas, it's also a partial fulfillment of the takana of the lechem mishnah.
Well, that's
by Pesach, because
the Torah says
lechem oni,
so that's
kovea
what the mitzvah is supposed to be. You don't have that on
charge. There's nothing that's kovea in the Torah. Okay, but you see from the fact that sometimes the Torah says that's the way to fulfill lechem mishnah with one shleim and one prusa, so there is value to be mitzar for prusa. So even if you have, that's what he says, even if you have two prusas, he thinks that that has value also. You're not fully yotze, but yotze partially, yeah. When you have the lechem mishnah on Shabbos and Yontov, you have to cut both of them, or you only cut one, you put the other one back in the freezer. So the Gemara says, Chazina, Amar Rav Ashi, 7 lines from the bottom, Chazina le de Rav Kana, I once saw Rav Kana, Benok, Tardi Abad Tzachot, he took two lechem mishnah, and he only cut one of them, he didn't cut the other. So that's assumed to be the din. But the Rashba learns on the next line, Rav Zer Havibad Tzachot, it means that he disagrees with Rav Kana, that he would cut, Rav Zera would cut both chalas, that the chala that they, you don't cut is not mitzarev to the lechem mishnah. You have to cut both chalas right away. And that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that there's a passage in the Zohar that says something about the chalas on Shabbos, azecha le lechem aponim. There were 12 lechem aponim, there were two marachas, 6 lechem aponim on this marach, 6 on that marach, 6 is 12. So on Shabbos, as opposed to Yontif, on Shabbos you have Lecha Mishnah and Zecha Lamon. But on Yontif, not only do you have Lecha Mishnah, you want to have Zecha Deshtel, Zecha Lecha Maponim. Because on Shabbos, they used to put on Shabbos morning, they'd put on the new Lecha Maponim that was just baked yesterday. They would leave it on the Shulchan for a week, then they would take it off next Shabbos morning and replace it with the new Lecha Maponim. Then it had a din of like a mincha, that had a status of a kochi kochim, only Nechi Yom Alayv Ab Chatzos. They had it divided among the Kohanim and finish eating in by midnight of Malav Malka on Matzoi Shabbos. So the Zohar says that on Shabbos, because the Lechem Mishnah is not only Zecha Laman, it's Zecha Lechem Aponim, you should have 12 Chalas. So how do you have 12 Chalas? You just have 2 Chalas. And by many Hasidim, they had a practice that they would have another 10 Chalas on the table. When they said Amotzi, they were saying Amotzi over all the 12 Chalas. So whatever the Vilna, whatever the Chassidim do, the Vilna Gaon held that it's a mistake by definition. Whatever the Chassidim do is wrong. So what? But it's a Zohar. So he said they misunderstood the Zohar. The Zohar means to say you have two challahs on Friday night and you cut both. Two challahs Shabbos morning, you cut both. You have two challahs Shalom Shudas and you cut both. So you had 6 challahs and they're all cut in half. So you have 12 Chatzoi challah. So that's what the Zohar meant. If you put together all the 3 meals of Shabbos, 2, 2, and 2 adds up to 6 chalos, and you cut everything in half, because that's what it means. Rav Zera botza kula sheirusa, not like Rav Kana, no kentardi botza chodo. No, Rav Zera held you have to cut both, and then the Vilna Gaon thinks that, like the Rashba, that's the maskana, you should really cut both. So then you're going to have a zechel alechem upon, you're going to have 12 chatzoi chala. So that's what they confronted. Yeah, how does Rashi translate Botza Kula Sheirusa? Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns you only cut one challah, you have to cut both. But how much do you cut? So if it would have been a weekday, you have a big long bread, so you cut off a slice at the end, whatever you're up to. Cut off a slice. You see that you're still hungry, cut off another slice. You see 10 minutes later, he wants someone, so you cut off another slice a little at a time. On Shabbos, he would guess how much he's probably going to eat in the course of the whole meal, and he would cut 4 inches into the challah. So the Gemara says, wow, a merci kerab sanusa. He looks like a chazer. He's already, he just said amaitzi, he's already holding by eating such a big piece, such a big chunk of challah. So he answers, so the Gemara answers, no, keep nikol yamalokav and hochi. All week long he doesn't eat like that. But in the cover, he only does that on Shabbos. Lam is chazer kerab sanusa. It doesn't look like a chazer. It doesn't look like he's starved out and he wants to eat so much bread. He's doing that out of chavivus hamitzvah to demonstrate that he enjoys eating the challah because it's a mitzvah to eat the challah on Shabbos. So that's how Rashi translated. And according to the Rashba that the Vilna Gaon thought was more correct, what's our kulish means that he cut the both challahs. The Gemara says, cut the both challahs. Whoever does that, you cut two loaves of bread. At the same time, you cut one loaf of bread. When you're finished, you cut another loaf of bread. The Gemara says, no, it's not mechsasi kerab sanusa, because all week long he doesn't do. He does it only to make a zecher to the lechem apon. Yeah, what does Rashi say? There's a din when you make a ruvi chatzeris, the bottom Rashi, and then lametas on the base. When you make a ruvi chatzeris, the din is emer avin ala belechem shenavochem olav hamoitzi. Mishnah says, bakol mi'arvin, all kinds of fruits and vegetables, any food, that bakol mi'arvin, that's a ruvi trumin, if you want to go chutz l'trum, or erev tavshilin. You can use some kind of a tavshil that's cooked, or shituf and mavuas, if you want to join mavuas together. But if you're making a ruvi chatzeris, we allowed to carry in a chatzer. So that's a gemara that is on em arvanala bepas. Only belechem shem avrochem ala b'amoytzi. We use matzahs because the matzahs won't get stale. If you're going to use a lechem, so if you're going to leave it the whole year long, it's going to get stale. And we don't want to make an erev of the chatzeris every week. So you put away a box of matzah, remains like that. The shayla is batcha. Sfardim say bari minim zaynis over matzahs. But the gemara says it has to be lechem shem avrochem ala b'amoytzi. So the answer is, it's a Gemara, we had it already in Ketzer Melachim, it's a Gemara, that if you kaveh a suda on the Pasa Bobikistan, then it becomes Hamoitzi. So even though you were not kaveh, the matzah is considered Pasa Bobikistan. It's a subcategory of lechem. So it is called lechem shemavochem olav Hamoitzi. So in order to be allowed to carry in the building, you have to make an eruv v'chatzeres before Shabbos enters, and then as long as the box of matzah is kayim, as long as the box of matzah is there in one of the apartments, Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashes, then it's kind of Erev B'tchilas HaShabbos. And then what? Then you can eat it up. Then you don't say you're only allowed to carry colds when the box of matzah is kayim. And after the box of matzah disappears, you can't carry. No. Shabbos, however, hutra hutra, if the beginning of Shabbos there was an Erev B'chatzeres, you're allowed to carry. Eruve Erev Tavshilin that you want to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, the Erev Tavshilin has to still be Kayam at the time that you want to cook. Let's say you made an Erev Tavshilin and then someone ate it up. Here in the neighborhood, they all tell the story that Queenie, one of their families had a dog. The dog's name is Queenie. It's a female dog, I guess. So the dog ate up the Erev Tavshilin. So they asked Rabbi Breuer, this is a Maisa from 60 years ago, they asked Rabbi Breuer, Queenie ate up the Erev Tavshilin. He didn't know who Queenie was. So they explained to him that's their pet. So he said, once it's eaten up, there's nothing left. So you can't cook anymore for Shabbos. You only can cook kol zman the erev is kayim. But by Ruvi Chatzeris, in Shituf and Mavuas, and Ruvi Trumin, it all depends b'tchilos HaShabbos. As long as it was there ben HaShmashes, it doesn't have to continue to be there. So the Gemara has a kamsa, the last line, Ho v'salit by mitzvah chodah, nevet by mitzvah achrita. This box of matzahs was used for the Erev de Chatzeres to permit carrying in the building, in the neighborhood. So the mitzvah is finished. You finish your Erev de Chatzeres when it comes to Ben HaShmashes, because it's kind of Shvisa Ben HaShmashes. But then you want to say Hamoitzi on Friday night, so you want to use Lecha Mishnah. So the meaning is that you use that matzah all the Sabbath B'chad HaMitzvah, never be mitzvah achrita. So many have the practice, that's what they quote from the Maril. They didn't do like the Vilna Goyen, that you have to cut like the Rashba. Batzah kula sheirusa, you have to cut both of the shleimas. They only cut one of them, like Rav Kana. Rav Kana used to only cut one of them, batzah chodo. Batzah chodo. So they quote the Maril's practice was that the matzah that he used for the Eruv Chatzeres, he would be mitzarev to the lechem mishnah on Friday night, then on Shabbos morning, then on Shalosh Shudas, and then he would eat it by Shalosh Shudas. He would use it three times over. If you do like the Vilna Goyen, so once you use it for Friday night, it's not a shleima anymore. So you can't use it again for a shleima on Shabbos morning. But the Maril obviously did not follow the opinion of the Rashba. He followed Rashi. Yeah, why is there such a concept? Hal v'sabed bei mitzvah chod and never bei mitzvah achrit. The mistame, it's a hider mitzvah. This is a chepta that was once used to do a mitzvah with it. So this matzah is more important than the other matzahs. This has a history to it. This is a matzah that was once used for a mitzvah. So you want to use it again for the next mitzvah, because it's a hidden mitzvah to use dafka this one and not the other one. Then the Gemara quotes an Amora by the name of Rav Bar Shmuel, who heard from Rav Chiya that when you say Hamoitzi, you should put some salt on the bread, or you should dip it into some kind of salad dressing or something, a lift on that, it should taste good. But then the Gemara says, Amaisa Shahaya. He was once eating by the Resh Galusa, the Mechaber Ami should say Hamoitzi to be Moitzi everybody. And they didn't put the salad dressing on the table yet. They didn't put the salt on the table. He said, Hamoitzi. And he started eating the challah. But he himself said, you shouldn't say Hamoitzi until everybody has a little salt or a little lift on to dip the matzah in. And for the Gemara, did he change his mind? Hadabei Mishmaita, did you change your mind? That you don't have to dip it into the sauce? So he says, no, this is delicious tasting challah, so we don't need anything with it. So that's what it says in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, that all year long they would dip the challah in salt, and they didn't have salt shakers. You shake the salt on the challah, on the matzah, and on Pesach night the matzahs were so delicious, they didn't bother to put on any salt. The Tosafot just says, however, you should have salt on the table. That's the quote of Rabbeinu Menachem. That's the last five lines in the top Tosafot Samim Amud Aleph, because he quotes a Medrash. He says, "Kishayisrael yoshvim al hashulchan umamtinim ze aze, achiitli them." Everybody waits till the last person is going to wash and be ready for hamoitzi. And one person is going to say hamoitzi for everybody. That's considered beroivam hadras melech. If you have a choice, each person says his own kiddush, and one person says kiddush for everybody, or each person says his own hamoitzi and his own lachamishna, and one person says hamoitzi for everybody. So the Gemara says beroivam hadras melech. It's to be preferred that one person should say the Kiddush for everybody. That's also the Hasidim have the practice that not so. So the Vilna Gaon says whatever they do is wrong. By definition, Chassid does lifnei mishuras hadin, keneged hadin. Yeah. I said over on Shabbos, in Yiddish folklore, that's what they say. A Chassid is one who does lifnei mishuras hadin. It means that he does keneged hadin. So that's why the Mishnah says, lo yam haaretz chassid. If he's an amharetz, he doesn't know what the din is. Half the time, he thinks he's doing keneged din, but he's not. He's doing what the din is. So that's why lo yam haaretz chassid, because he's an amharetz, so sometimes he'll do what the din requires. You have to be a talmid chacham to know what the din is, to do fakert. That's a chassid. He does always keneged din. That's the Misnagdash Yiddish folklore. So Tosis says they would wait to say Hamoitzi till everybody would wash until the Siddur. So there's a lot of Bittul Torah when they're just sitting like that. Mamtinim zezat sheitli them hem below mitzvahs. They're not performing any mitzvah, no divitar. Asat mekatru galeim ubris melech megin aleim. So you should have salt on the table. But there's no need to dip the challah in the salt. Number one, today they probably put salt into the challah when they baked it in the bakery. Number two, even if they didn't put salt in, they put in all kinds of delicious flavors. They put in cinnamon and other flavors, so it tastes delicious, so you don't need any salt. So that's what the Gemara says. Whatever, the challah tastes good the way it is, you don't need any salt. And the Gemara gives you health recommendations, which are very important. You have to, just like in the days of the Gemara, they followed the doctors of their generation, we should do the same. We should follow the doctors of our generation. Whatever they say is healthy, you gotta follow the doctors. The Gemara has a comment on Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that not all vegetables are bari pri adama. Some vegetables, he say, bari mini dishoy. You have more pirut. The other chacham hold is a general bracha, and all vegetables say bari pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need more pirut. So the Gemara says, what is my time of the Rabbi Yehuda? On the last narrow line, before the very wide lines. What is the mocha of Rabbi Yehuda? That you need pirut in the bracha. It's not enough. You have to say generally, bari pri adama. You should say bari mini dushoim. Bari, you're talking about bria. So when the parsha is bereshis, when it describes bria, it says, tachehoritz deshe esav zera mazriya zera. So in the bria, it says that they were created separately. It says that the vegetables were created separately, and the fruits on the trees were created separately. So that's why they say bari pri ha'etz and bari pri ha'adam. And tache ha'aretz desha was created separately. They quote from the Vilna Goyen that the Loshon HaMishnah is So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, why does it switch the expression? It says, if you're eating Yerokas, I'm Bari Dishayim. Why does it say, Yerokas, should say Bari Mini Yerokas, or you should say, Ala Dishayim, I'm Bari Mini Dishayim. When you say what you're eating, you use the word Yerokas, eating green vegetables. And the Nusach Ambar is Bari Mini Dishayim. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, because the Mishnah is written in Mishnei Hebrew, and the Brachas are supposed to be in Biblical Hebrew. So the Mishnah says, if you're eating what we call today yerokas, vegetables, green vegetables, you should say what the Tanakh calls green vegetables, marim midishon. So that's what the Gra claims, that this Mishnah is a support to the theme of the whole Sefer Avodrom. That's the theme of the whole. That's the premise of the whole Sefer. The Avodrom's premise is that every brach and every tefillah was composed in biblical Hebrew. So he gives you a mocker in Tanakh for every single phrase that appears in the Siddur. And we mentioned the Netziv holds that the Netziv rejects the whole premise of the whole Sefer. So you can put the whole Avodrom in the Shemus. He disagrees with the whole premise. You had to write from the Gemara by Bar Minim Zainus that brachas don't have to be in biblical Hebrew. So that's it. We usually assume like the Vilna Gaon, we usually assume like the Avodrom. The Taz quotes like that from the Maharal Prague also. That in davening on Shmini Atzeres, you don't call it Chag HaSukkos. You call it Yom HaShmini Chag HaTzeres HaZeh. You call it Shmini Atzeres. But in Losh HaMiriyodom, it's called Sukkos. So the Taz quotes a Mishnah in the Torah. A guy takes a neder, he will not eat potato chips till after Sukkos. So he can't eat the potato chips on Shmini Atzeres. It's still called Sukkos. Losh HaMiriyodom is still called Sukkos. But in Biblical Hebrew, it's not called Sukkos. That's why in the davening you have to daven based on biblical Hebrew. So you should say Yom HaShmini Chag HaTzeres HaZeh. He quotes that from the Maharal Prague, that there's a difference between Loshem B'nei Odom B'nedorim Halocha HaLoshem B'nei Odom. And when you write a ksuba, when you write a shtar, people write shtaris according to Loshem B'nei Odom. But tefillos and brachas are supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew. So where did Rabbi Yehuda get the terminology that green vegetables are called deshev? That's from the Chumash, Tachehor, it's deshev, esem, azviya, zera. But why does he insist that you need so much pirut? Gemara says, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, why does he think you need so much detail? Because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Baruch Hashem, yom, yom. What does it mean? You should only praise HaKadosh Baruch, v'chi bayom, v'roch ha'mosu, v'alayla, ein v'roch ha'mosu. You only praise HaKadosh Baruch in the daytime. No, we say brachas at night as well. The Lomalach, what it means is, whenever you daven, whenever you bench, on a Shabbos, a Yontav, or a Shchodesh, or Chalamod, you should mention something in the middle of the benching, in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, namely Yalav Yavai, to mention the fact, you should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us Shabbos and Yontav, and Chalamod, and Shchodesh. You need Pirut. So just like you need Pirut, you should mention in the middle of the Alamichio, she mentioned in the middle of the Shmon Esrei that Bichos Hamazon, that today is Chol HaMoed, Yom Tov, Shabbos, whatever. So too, when you're saying a Bichos Hanen, you shouldn't say Shahakal on anything and everything. B'di'evid, the Mishnah says, if he said Shahakal on anything, you're Yotze. That's the next Mishnah, Amem Emral. But Lahatrili, you shouldn't do like that, because you need Pirut. So just like you need Pirut to mention what the nature of the day is, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh, so too you should have pirut in the brach. You shouldn't just say bar pri adam and all vegetables. Those that are green vegetables, you should say bar mini d'shoim. Yeah, that Mishnah that says he said shahakol b'di'evad yoyotze, that goes on the bar pri hetz and the bar pri adama. He made a mistake and said shahakol. Does it go also on pas and yayin? Because the opening Mishnah says that on all fruits that grow on a tree, the bracha should really be bar pri hetz, with the exception of wine. And all vegetables that grow from the ground should really be bar pri adama, with the exception of bread, that you say moitzi lechem min ha'aretz, even though it grows from the ground. So the Gemara says, why? Because ishtari lemal yusuf, because the wine is a special, needs a special super bracha, because ishtari lemal yusuf, and the bread is also avam lechem yichya adam. The lechem is ishtari lemal yusuf. So that's what the Gemara has one opinion, that chutz min ha'pas u'min ha'yayin. In Marmar Kulam here on the top of Ambeis, four lines from the top of Mem Ambeis, Rav Hura m'chutz min ha'pas u'min ha'yayin. Pas and yayin have a special bracha because ishtari lemal yusuf, special super bracha. So there, if you'll say the bracha bar shakal niya bedora b'yeved, Rabun holds you will not be yotze. We don't pass like him, we pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Taisis on our daf, on the testament base, made a whole proof based on the rules and regulation that had a paskin, that when you have a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and a Rav, halachic Rabbi Yechanan. You have machlokes Rav and Rav Huna, is halachic Rav. So if there's machlokes in Rabbi Yechanan and Rav Huna, the din should be, if Rabbi Yechanan wins against Rav, he certainly wins against the Rav Huna, so the din is going to be like Rabbi Yechanan. So that's why we paskin. But we understand why he said not so. You understand why Rav Huna held chutz min apasim min ayayin? Because pasim yayin should have really had been bar pri ha'itza, bar pri ha'adama. And the Mishnah opening, Mishnah Laman Hamanam, says that's an exception to the rule. They made a special super bracha because ishtani limal yusa. So there, there's room to argue the point like Rav Huna does, and he says that you wouldn't be ha'itza b'yavid if you don't have pirut. Kach tikna chacham, you need dafkin pirut. And we pass like Rav Yechanan, that even pasim yayin also, b'yavid you would be ha'itza. That the pirut is only lachatchila, but b'yavid you would be yotze. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that has a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says they're talking about a case: a person invented his own nusach habracha. He has a beautiful, delicious cake. Instead of saying amotzi lechem min haaretz, he says this cake, this bread. Let's say it's a bread. This bread is so smells so delicious. And it tastes so good. Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created this beautiful bread. So he didn't say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. He didn't say in translation either. He said his own nusach. So that's a machlokes Satanoim. So Rav Meir holds b'di'evad yoytzei Rav, and Rav Yossi holds you're not yoytzei b'di'evad. Hamashanim and Ba'abeh Shetavach Hami b'brachas layotzei dechavas. Usually Rav Meir is the one who holds like that in Gittin. Hamashanim and Ba'abeh Shetavach Hami b'Gittin. Avlad Mamzer. But over here it's Rav Meir who disagrees. Rav Meir holds a bit of yeah, but even in Mishan Meir Shetav HaChacham and Bibrachas, one would have expected Rav Meir to be the one to disagree. No, he's the one who says that it is good bit of yeah, but Rav Yossi is the one who disagrees. So Gemara discusses how does this Machlekes Rav Meir Rav Yossi compare to the Machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan? Are you Yotze if he said Shakol and Pasayayin? So it comes to Maskana that Yoytze b'di'evad if you'd said Shachal, even on passing yayin. The Chatchili should say the correct bracha, but b'di'evad if you said Shachal, Yoytze b'di'evad. Yeah, when would you not be Yoytze? If you say ha'etz on a vegetable, then you're not Yoytze. But if you say ha'adom on a fruit, then the Mishnah says you are Yoytze. The Bavli presents it as if it should depend on a machlokes Hatanaim and the Mishnah in Bikurim. And then it says Stira in the Rambam. According to the Bavli, that did in our Mishnah, that if it said Bari Pri Hadoma on a fruit that grows from a tree, b'di'evad, you would be Yotze. So it should follow that if Yov Shamayim and Iktas or Elon, he should still be able to be Mevi Vikore. And the Rambam Paskan is like the Tanakhama, Mevi Vienna Kore. So according to the Bavli, that's the Tanakhama is in contradiction to our Mishnah. So then you have a stira in the Rambam. That's the question. What's the teretz on the stira to the Rambam? The Gemara says the machlokes Rabbeinu and the Rabbanan and the Mishnah in Bikurim is totally in the did in our Mishnah. You say that things that grow on a tree are basically growing from the ground, a little indirectly. So b'di'evad, if you said bar pi adam on the fruits on the tree, you would be yotze. Or should I say, no, even b'di'evad, you're not yotze, because whatever grows on a tree is going on a tree. It's not growing on the ground, and it doesn't fit in the bracha bari pri ha'adama. So the Gemara presents, the Bavli here presents it as if the machlokes Rabbeinu and Chachamim, and if you pass like our Mishnah, that you yotze b'di'evad, then you have to paskin, Yav Shamayim and Iktza Tzuhilon, is maybe vikori. And the Rambam paskin maybe vienikori, like the Chachamim Shita. So that's according to the Bavli, that's a stira, the stira in Psak Halach. Yeah, when do you say Bar Pi Huayt? So the Gemara says on the last line, Hechem Mevachin Bar Pi Huayt. So last line of Memor Menalik. When is that? Echadich ishak v'slei the bere isa the gabze v'hada mapik. On the same branches that are here, I pluck off the fruits, and then next year, when it's going to be another season, another fruit will grow on the same branch. There are certain trees where the whole tree falls down at the end of the season, but the roots remain under the ground, and then next year everything grows up again. So the Torah quotes a machlokes or rishonim whether that's this is that bar pihuetz, because the roots remain in the ground. So it's basically the same tree. It's a hemshach naf in the same tree, and then it's called bar pihuetz. So do you say no? Maybe it's called bar pihadoma. It has to be you have the same branches, and the new fruits are growing from that branch. So that's the story with the banana tree. Banana tree, the whole tree falls down after the season. Then next year, when it comes the new season, the whole tree grows up again because the roots are there in the ground. So should you say huadoma or should you say bar pihuetz when you eat a banana? So our meaning is that we say huadoma to play it safe. Because it's a machlekes two opinions in the Torah, and if you're going to say ha'etz and it doesn't belong, then you're not yotzi even b'di'evet. So we say ha'adama to plates. And what about a mistake? A person says bar pi ha'etz on a banana. So we would say safik brachas la'akel. He already said a bracha. We would say don't say over another bracha. Maybe b'di'evet you were yotzi with the bracha that you said. Kriya Shema here on the second wide line. The Mishnah in Soita lists off the beginning of Perek Elin Amor. The different mitzvahs of reciting. We recite Kriya Shema, we say Sfiras HaOmer, we say Mikra Bikurim, the Kohanim Duchen. Every so often there's a mitzvah of reciting something, saying something. So the Chumash gives you the text. The Chumash never has the text for Sfiras HaOmer. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't say Sfiras HaOmer can be said in any other. In Shulchan Aruch it says it can be recited in any language that you understand. How come it doesn't say in the Mishnah? The answer is the Mishnah is only talking about those things that there's a nusach for. Shmona Esrei, there's a nusach from the Rabbana. Kriya Shema, there's a text from the Torah. Mikra Bikurim, Duchening, Vidui Maisa, the Chumash has a text. So there will be a discussion in Tanaim. Are you only Yotze if you say Kekhsavai in the Hebrew language, or even if you say in translation, but it has to be a literal translation? You can't just say, I want to be Yotze Kriya Shema in English. I say, I believe in monotheism, and I believe we should put on Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, and every door should have a mezuzah. I say all the dinim. We should all love God with all of our heart, follow our soul. I'll say over all the dinim that it says there, but I won't give a literal translation. So then the holiday is here, not Yotze. One Tana holds you have to say in the original Hebrew. It has to be Kirchsova. And we Paskin not like him, even if it's in translation, but it's a literal translation, so that's also called Kirchsova. So each mitzvah you have to see, dig up Sukkim from the Chumash. When is it mashma that it's only called Kirchsova in the original Hebrew? And when do you say even in translation it's also called Kirchsova? So the Mishnah never says a word about Sfiras HaOmer, so Absolvation said, because there is no official text. Even the Rabban is no official text. We say what it says in the Siddur. But that's not a Takanos Chacham. You have to dafka say that text. In fact, it's a very questionable. The Magen Avraham says, when we count Sfiras HaOmer, so we say today, Hayom Chamisha V'Yesrim Yom, She'em Shlosha Shavuos V'Arba Yomim V'Oim. Why do you say Chamisha V'Yesrim Yom? Because in Biblical Hebrew it's like that. But in Biblical Hebrew sometimes you have the other way. In the later Sifrei HaTanach and Chumash, most of the time, you have the smaller number first. Chamisha V'Yesrim. Most of the cases. Sometimes you have the larger number first. And later in the Iksuvim, in the Vim Iksuvim, from the later generations, Ruba de Ruba is the reverse. You have the larger number first. So the Gemara says, what about the Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur? When he does the Zvika, Sachs L'mayla V'Sheva L'mato, so the Gemara knows that from Sukkim, he has to count to make sure he doesn't make a mistake. And he shouldn't count 1 to 8. He should count 1 and then 1 to 7. So he say, Achas, Achas V'Achas. And then what do you say? Say Achas U'Shtayim? Or do you say Shtayim V'Achas? Do you say the larger number first? Or do you say the smaller number first? Not the same as what we're talking. I say today's the 25th day of Sfiras HaOmer. So the 5 and the 20 are supposed to join together. They're not joining together. Achaz l'mayla v'sheva l'mato, they're not joining together, but still the issue is in the signon of speaking, whenever you fulfill a mitzvah, the amira, you should have the most correct amira, you should say, with proper grammar and proper pronunciation. So the Gemara says, there's a machlokes hatanoim. How did the Kohen Gadol say? Did he say, achas v'yachas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh? Or did he say, shtayim v'yachas, sholosh v'yachas? So the Gemara says, no machlokes, marki asrei, umarki asrei. This Tana lived in that section in Eretz Yisrael where Bizman HaTanaim, the practice was that they would say the larger number first, and this Tana lived in the other area in Eretz Yisrael where the practice was that they would say the smaller number first. So the Magen Avraham says that's the reason why when we count Svira, we say the smaller number first, Hayam Chamisha V'Yesrim Yom. Why? Because we all talk Yiddish, and Yiddish is say Fimf and Svansik. By race of hands, how many people talk Yiddish? Nobody talks Yiddish. So in ancient English, the queen was in the count. The queen was in the kitchen counting something, 24 blackberries or something. I forgot about what it is. So in ancient English, she used to say 24. Today, nobody says 24. So whatever language, we don't speak Yiddish. In modern Hebrew, everybody says the larger number first, and in English, they say the larger number first. I remember we asked once Rabbi Bar Chayim. He speaks Arabic, I think he says. In Arabic also, he say the larger number first. So that's a big, deep, dark secret. So why don't we count Sphere with the larger number first? And many Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael changed the practice. They didn't Shulchan Aruch, as he's supposed to say the normal way. The normal is to say the normal, the larger number first, not the smaller number first. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah. Some mitzvahs of Amir can only be recited in the original Hebrew, Kichsavai, and some could be recited in translation, provided that it's a literal translation. There's even a question, how literal does the translation have to be? Let's say in Hebrew you say, Ayeled HaTov. So you say first the noun and then the subject. Ayeled HaTov. In English you're going to say the good boy. You're not going to say the boy good. So let's say there's a pasuk in Kriyat Shema that says, Ayeled HaTov. So when you say it in translation in English, should you say, the boy, the good? Rabbi Kinegi writes in the Tshuva, you have to give literal translation, word for word literal translation. And others say, no, you have to translate the phrase. In proper English, you don't say, the boy, the good, you say, the good boy. So that's even to that extent, that's a machlokes. It has to be literal translation, but does it have to be word for word literal, or phrase by phrase? That's a serious shame. Then the Gemara has a brisa, Erev Pesach of the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle, Erev Pesach of the seventh year, the farmers have to recite Videi Maisa if they are able to. You have to say, Biyarte HaKadosh Ben Abayis, Gam Nesat V'Lalevi, Sisik Chol Asher Tzivisani. Is it really true, Sisik Chol Asher Tzivisani? If he violated the dinim, then he can't say Videi Maisa. He can't say Sisik Chol Asher Tzivisani. So the Gemara says at a certain point in history, towards the end of the Bayi Sheni period, they did away with the Videi Maisa because the people were not following what it says in the Chumash. But anyway, it says that you're supposed to say, Lo avartem in mitzvasech v'lo shachachti. What does it mean, v'lo shachachti? The Gemara says, Lo avartem milavarechecho. I said the bracha on hafrashas Maisa Sheni and hafrashas Truni, said all the brachas. Lo shachachtem ala haske shimcho o shimcho umalchuscho. The two girsas in the Sifrei, whether bracha has to have shame is enough, or has to have shame umalchus. So we pass, you need shame umalchus. And if you didn't say melech ha'olam, just say Adonainu ha'melech, that's not good enough. Adonainu ha'melech, the queen of England, is also a queen. You have to say melech ha'olam. She's not the queen over the whole wide world. Baruch Shalom is melech ha'olam. So that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether machlokes hamarayim, machlokes, who is it? Rav and Rav Yechanan. Usually Rav and Rav Yechanan, halachic Rav Yechanan. So that's why we pass like Rav Yechanan here. That kol bracha shem Hashem umalchus. You have to have shem umalchus, that you should count as a bracha. But the pella, what do you mean? This is what it means in the Chumash. The brichas hamitzvah were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Gemara says. They were the ones who instituted Kiddush and Abdullah and all the tefillahs, so they instituted the Birchas HaMitzvah and Afroshas Maisusheni and Afroshas Trumas and so on. So how can you interpret in the Pasuk? Lo avartem im mitzvah v'lo shachachti, I didn't forget to say the brachas. The brachas are all the Rabbanon. So the Mishkan and Yankov has a sefer on brachas, and on this daf, he has that suggestion that we said over yesterday, that when Shaul lost the Asonos, and they told him he should look for the Novi, Shmuel HaNovi, he'll tell him where they are. So the Gemara Mem Ches on the Beitz quotes the pasuk that the girls spoke to him. Kevoyachem Hoir, Kein Timtzun Oso, you'll find him in the city, B'term Yal HaBamos Alechol, Ki Lo Yachal Ha'am, Ad Bo'o, till Shmuel HaNovi comes, Kehu Yivarch Es HaZevach. So Rashi says, he's going to say the bracha, Lechol Es HaZevach, not Shehakol Birchaz HaNenin, he's going to say the bracha, Birchaz HaMitzvah. So it sounds like, why didn't Rashi say Shehakol? Because Shehakol didn't exist in the days of Shmuel HaNovi. It was introduced later. So the bracha Lech al achilus hazevach also didn't exist at that time. So that's what the Mishkan and Sankev suggests. Apparently, the Chachamim understood that birchas hamitzvah and mirchas mitzvah that has to do with in Yoni Kiddusha existed all the way back. So when you mafish ma'aseh sheni, it's kodesh. So you say lo shachachti milavarechecha. On afroshes v'idei ma'aseh. The main thing is on the ma'aseh sheni. Because that has Kedusha. And Achilas HaZevach is a thing that has Kedusha. So that, apparently, there was always a bracha. And then he suggests the same is true regarding Birchas Erisin. Says, by bracha es Rivka, when Eliezer Eved Avram went to get a shidduch for Yitzchak, and he bumps into Rivka there by the well. So the pasuk says, when he clinched the deal, so it says, by bracha es Rivka, so Tosfos in the first parak in Ksubas quotes a medrash from that pasuk, you see that you recite Birchas Erisin even if the shliach is Mekadosh the Isha. Because Eliezer was a shliach who went on behalf of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak wasn't Mekadosh on his own. So you see that even a shliach. And then another medrash says, why did it say Bikach Hasor Migmali Adoinov? Why did Eliezer take 10 camels? Why did he need 10 camels? He didn't need 10 camels, he needed 10 bodies. He needed 10 people. Because Lachatchili is supposed to recite Birchas Erisin with a minion. Birchas Nisuin, the minion is Ma'akev. Asor is Le'ikuv. If you don't have Asor, you don't say Birchas Nisuin. Birchas Erisin, it says, L'chatchili, you should have a minion. And if you have a big Shas Hatchak, you can recite Birchas Erisin without a minion. Yet today, it's not going to help too much to say Birchas Erisin without a minion. You can't continue. You can't say Birchas Nisuin. Years ago, they used to have Erisin now and Nisuin a year later. So if you don't have a minion, say make Erisin, you say the bracha without a minion. But today, the Gaonim moved the two together, so we have no pause at all. You don't wait. So it doesn't make sense to say the Birchas Erisin without Asara, because you won't be able to say the Birchas Nisuin. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankev suggests, that the Gemara says, Ariat Mekudesh Asli is a Lishna de Rabbanon. In biblical Hebrew, you never have such a Lashon. You would say, Ariat Ishti, Ariat Arisasi, Ariat Nisuasi, Ariat Salasi, Negdosi, Ezrasi, Esolaisi Kenegdo. These are all biblical expressions. Ariat Mekudesh is not a biblical expression, but the concept that it represents is a concept that does exist on the level of the Aris. When a couple gets married, there's an Inyan of Kedusha that's injected into their lives. The Gemara has in Masach HaSaita, Ish v'Yisha, Shechina Shurei Benem. The word Ish has a Yud, and the word Isha has a Hey, and the Yud and the K add up to the Shem Kor. Yud K is the Shem Hashem. So the Mishkan Es Yankov assumes in the Sefer Kavos Yankov, and Daf Mem, assumes that in Kiddushin there is an element of Kiddusha that's introduced into their lives. So that's why apparently the Chachamim understood that Birchas Erisin existed way before the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, even in the days of Yaakov Avinu, even in the days of Yitzchak Avinu, when Eliezer made the Kiddushin, he was the Shliach, he made the Kiddushin for Yitzchak. So he said, V'avroch Es Rivka, that he said the Birchas Erisin, and that's why he needed the 10 camels. He didn't need the camels, he needed the 10 people riding on the camels in order to recite the Birchas Erisin Basor. That's a medrash like that. V'yikach Asor HaGdmalim, because he needed Asor for Birchas Erisin. It's only L'chatchila. And it's not Miyake B'riyev. So So there's a bracha bari pi hadama, there's a bracha bari pi wait, there's a bracha hamoitzi, bari pi hagofen. Those four brachas appear in the first Mishnah. Then you have bari minim zaynus, for some reason or another, never mentioned in the Mishnah. It's bari minim zaynus. Gemara talks about mezaynus, but the Mishnah, the braisa, Gemara never has it. And then you have shahakol niyabidvar. We have shahakol anamid aleph, and al kulam and birch shahakol yotza. Yeah. We had a Tosis later where Tosis says, Lechatchilis bar to say bari is ve b'samim, but bari atze b'samim, bari mini b'samim. Whatever it is that you're smelling the pleasant reyach, what if b'diyevet you said shakon liyevedvara on the reyach, so b'diyevet you yotze. So they say because it says in the Mishnah, kulam and birch shakol yotze. There's room to dingzach. Shakol yotze means going on eating or drinking, eating food or drinking beverages, but on smelling reyach. Maybe you're not yotze, but Tosis assumes of kulam and birch shakol yotze. Even goes on the Birchus Harech. Doesn't necessarily imply that Tosfos disagrees with the Tzlach. There was a famous Tzlach. Tzlach was of the opinion that Birchus Harech is not really a Birchus Hanenin. He asked, how come the Gemara needed a new pasuk? Whenever you smell something that with a good Reach, you have to say a Brach. What do you need a pasuk for? We already established in the first daf in Ketzel Mevachim, you always have to say a Brach, a Birchus Hanenin. So he says, you see, that the regular takana, the initial takana, birchas hanenin, doesn't apply to birchas areach. And he gives the suggestion, why? Because kol ma'avarech ein behem yishu me'ilu. Mar says, l'ashem horetz m'loy tevel v'yesh v'ivo, so it's a violation of me'ilu. Yimoyl behegdish, if you're going to be nenim in olam azay b'loy bracha. But kol ma'avarech, there is no me'ilu. So it wouldn't be included in that. So that's why they had to make a separate takana that needed a separate post. So that's very questionable. Is that tzlach right or not? Rabbi Yosef Engel asks on that tzlach. The Gemara says, "Kol amara ein bo mishum me'ilah." Let's say the Levim are playing the klei shir in the Beis Hamikdash, and the person has such pleasure from the shir on the korban, he has tremendous hanos. So he's not in violation of me'ilah or mara. Let's say Hegdish has a beautiful painting, and the guy looks and they're actually going off to the highest bidder. No one bought it yet, so it still belongs to Hegdish. And the guy is just chalashing, has such pleasure looking at the painting. So Mare, there's no din of me'ila. But Reach, the Gemara says, not for the same reason as the other two. Kol Mare is ein bo mamish. Reach is yesh bo mamish. It enters, the particles are floating in the air, they enter into your nose, that's why you smell it. There is yesh bo mamish. The reason why Reach is ein bo me'ila is only a rare case. He smells k'toros lachash t'tala timrosoi. Because ein l'chodovish and asis mitzvos amoyolim boy. That's why the Brisker Rav is asking Akasha, that memory, Reb Shulman Levi says all three together. Kol Marerech Eim Mishum Me'ilu. So that memory is in the first parak increases. So they have the Shurim from the Brisker Rav. He doesn't understand. Why does he put three things together? Two of them are Kol Marerech because Eim Mamish. And Reach is a different reason because Nasis Mitzvosai. If it wouldn't be Nasis Mitzvosai, there would be Me'ilu on Reach. So Avelul asked Akasha, he doesn't have an answer. So that slach is very questionable. He says because reich is one of the things ain't bo meila, so therefore you need a separate takana. What do you mean? Reich is yesh bo meila. The only rare case where it's ain't bo meila is lachash etalatim rasa because ain't lachadovish and asas mitzvasai umoyalim bo. You may be able to answer the Brisker Rav's kasha. Why did Rabbi Shlomo Levi put together all three korim avarech? Reich is a totally different reason. So we suggested a teretz. Based on a Tosfos and Avodah Zarah and a Tosfos and Bava Kamma, the only time Reach counts as an Isa Hanoah if it's flowers that are Oymed L'Reach. But let's say it's food that's Oymed to eat. You have wine that people are going to drink the wine, and someone smells the wine in order to tell whether it's fresh wine, whether it's good or not. And he has pleasure from smelling the wine. So Tosfos says that, let's say the wine is Trefah wine. The wine is treifa wine, so and it's also banor. Let's say real stam yenim is mana gemara. It was also banor. His mana said we're mekel that the stam yenim is mutar banor, but his mana gemara stam yenim was because the nochem used to be bikin benisach. Today most of the nochem are not menasach, so they're not bikin benisach. So the gemara says the wine is only also b'shtia, is mutar banor. Nikiradin is mutar banor. We lechatchila we also banor unless it's hefsed merubah. Why make the Hefsa Merubah? Because that's the Ikar Adin. It's really Mutabah, no? So Tosfos says, wine is Oymed L'Shtiyah. It's not Oymed L'Hariach. So if you smell something that's not oimed lahariach, then that's not called hanoah. The only time it's called yesh bo mamash, the only time it's called yesh bo hanoah, is if it's flowers that are oimed lahariach, a perfume that's oimed lahariach, or something is not oimed lahariach, then it's the same as kol amara. You don't need nasis mitzvasa. That's then I call it ein bo mamash. Maybe that's the reason why Rabbi Shimon Levi put all the three together. Because when it's the thing is not oimed lahariach and you smell it and you get anoah, then it's the same as kol amara, that there's no me'ila. So that's questionable whether the tzlach's chidush is correct or not. Tzlach has a lot of chidush. Tzlach is a sefer and brachas that was authored by the author of the Nerdy Yehuda. I think his mother died. I think his mother's name is Chaya. So the name of the sefer is Tzion, the Nefesh Chaya. This is a memorial to his mother Chaya. My mother's name was Chaya. So when my mother passed away, I remember Rabbi Gedalia Felder knew my parents. So he thought that I should publish something. I should entitle it Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. So I did in my sefer, at the end of my sefer, Eretz HaTzvi, I have a kuntres that my father wrote. So that's called the Tzion to my mother, Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. I said, we got to run downstairs for Mincha. Okay, so we left off here on Mem on the base. Thank you.